Yeah, first things first, Mick, how are you?
I'm good. I'm okay. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm doing well, so thank you for asking. Before we jump into the album, I'd like to go back just a slight bit because I find when I read about Night at the Opera, it sounded like such an interesting interesting project to tackle. So what was the motivation behind that? Album. It's such a kind of out of left field, at least the way I see it.
I think the one, well, at least one of the starting motivations was a search for new chord progressions. Like when songwriters are trying to write songs, they often find themselves kind of rotating around a similar structure of chords. There's very common patterns of chords that are used in lots of different songs. And it can be hard to break away from those kind of patterns because they're just so useful and musical to the human ear. So I was messing around with rolling dice on the top of the keyboard just to see what group of numbers would come up. So like most songs use about four or five chords of the key. So the dice will give you the indication is like you use chord two and then you go four and then you go five. And so during lockdown, COVID lockdown, I was watching lots of chess videos. It just happened that way that I got into this guy called Agat Matter. He was a chess, like a teacher, I suppose. He goes through games on multiple levels, you know, for beginners and medium and experienced players too. So I watched a lot of, and he gave lovely backstories to the different grandmasters that he was kind of exploring their history. And yeah, I just noticed that there were six distinct pieces on the board. So I thought, why not write out the sequence of piece moves and see if they throw up anything. And I kind of got into it because I had a ready-made subject matter. It would be like if it was a Bobby Fischer game, then I could write about Bobby Fischer's life, which is not uninteresting, you know. It's and the same goes for lots of the chess champions, you know. And they a lot of them had kind of non-neurotypical brains, and they were some of them are troubled characters. So yeah, having subject matter to go along with a structure was kind of a ready-made puzzle to solve. I don't know actually if I happened upon any new great sequences. I mean, it was an awkward job really to try and make these things sound like songs because they had no choruses really to speak of because the sequences wouldn't repeat. And I was trying to honor the games as closely as I could. So I kept to the game sequences, and kind of forfeited the usual chorus and whatever. But I was it was just interesting and fun, kind of like puzzle work. Yeah, I haven't gone back to it since, but I have a friend in America. Jeffrey Martin is his name. And I sent him my chess album project, and like he wrote this kind of rebuttal song called Checkers, where he just uses two chords for the whole song, and he goes kind of as like he doesn't go into any complicated thing. He just writes from the point of view of a very simple character, even a kind of a rough, dope smoking, just order pizza takeaway and watch TV kind of character, just like deliberately dumbed down type of song. And I really like that song. It's my favorite that happened from the chess. Yeah, it's I don't know if he's released it yet or not.
Well, I would love to hear that song. Would be nice to hear it. But what you mentioned, I find it the reason also why I ask about that album is This new album is number eight, I think. So if you've written quite a few songs over the years and throughout your creative tenure, if we could call it that. So keeping things fresh must be on the top of the list of things to do whenever you start a new album. So that when I listened to Good Time Charlie, then well, was it a reaction then on kind of that very methodical approach?
No, because the two things were kind of running concurrently.
Okay.
Well, three things were running concurrently, really, because I was still working on the album with Susan O'Neill at the same
Sure.
time as the chess thing, and at the same time as just any other idea that was coming at the time. If it didn't fit the Susan O'Neill album, I would hold on to it.
Okay.
And I was doing a lots of co-writes as well during COVID because there wasn't a lot to do, so I had extra time to say yes to a lot of phone calls and just well, one lady in particular, Anna Eggy, we spoke every week
Okay.
and we wrote lots of songs over the phone, well, over something like this, and yeah, so. So like three of those songs made this album. One other co-write during lockdown with Tiana Esperanza made it. I didn't really make a conscious decision to go any which way at all, really. I guess, and it happens most of the time, unless there's a concept involved, that once you have enough songs that you like, you feel as though you have an album, and you need to kind of get them out of the way, I guess, or like just
Sure.
and move on, you know.
Well, I can imagine that once, for instance, in the situation where you're now, where the album has been finished, and maybe you look upon it, look back upon it, and you can kind of figure out where certain songs came from. Because and I don't know if this is correct at all, but one thing that I've kind of felt during when I got to the end of the album, America's mentioned quite a bit on the album. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, there was a guy I was talking to from the Boston Globe, and he was wondering if I deliberately wrote the album for the Oh Boy record company, but that's the Oh Boy thing came along afterwards. Yeah, it just kind of happened that way, really. There was a song called Minnesota that I had written and released a few years ago. My manager Sheena kind of suggested that it go on the album, and I was happy to go along with that. There's a song called The Fact, which is a story, which is, you know, kind of a semi-true story that happened to me while I was driving in America. I can't remember the other references. Oh yeah, there's a song specifically about LA, where I had spent some time over the last 4 years or so. 4 years ago I recorded an album there and then visited there a couple of more times afterwards. And that was another co-write with a guy in Nashville. I had just returned from Los Angeles and it was on my mind and we just started talking about it, and we had a similar kind of a love-hate relationship with the place, and so we wrote that song. Yeah, it wasn't a deliberate thing. It's like
Okay.
I sometimes when I'm doing gigs in Ireland, like I wouldn't play all those songs
Sure.
for fear of sounding obsessed with America or something like that. I always have had lots of American influence on my kind of songwriting. Like that's the type of music that I grew up with anyway. And I haven't been doing kind of traditional Irish stuff, you know. So sometimes I get self-conscious about that, but other times, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know.
No, but that was kind of what I was noticing, because some of my favorite kind of folk songs are from America, and they kind of talk about these places, like "Tangled Up in Blue" by Bob Dylan. It's kind of this storytelling. So, a song like "The Fact" kind of, to some extent, reminded me of a similar type of narrative style song that visited all these places and kind of it felt like you were along for the journey. What was the? And then I think I know the answer, but when you start writing, do you kind of feel where a song is headed, or is it kind of you just let it be what it is? That makes sense.
I often have like an idea of what the vowels might sound like. So if I have a melody idea, I might have one line kind of pre-prepared or something that I want to be a part of the song or something that's going to be something to do with the subject matter overall. And then I wouldn't have much else. So I'd be searching around for melodies and searching around for where this melody might change, and I'd be kind of singing from a kind of a scatty, just nonsensical, but it would have its kind of motive as well. It would like you'd be singing something and you'd be intentionally trying to place the right vowels sounds in certain areas of the melody that they suit. Or if there's a area of the melody that has some quick notes, for example, you might try to insert like something interesting there, like even the word interesting says has a quick succession of syllables that I mean, it's ironically not that interesting a word, but it could also be like a couple of small words that you would need to have there and make sense there. So yeah, there's a kind of a jigsaw puzzle to the melody that you have come up with. And if you want it to sound like it sounded in your head, then you have to kind of adhere to that, those vowel sounds. Those long notes suit longer vowels like A's and O's, and then short notes, A's and O's are fine, but I's and E's can be kind of more staccatic or something like that.
Sorry to interrupt, but is it then a tricky thing, because you mentioned working on those vowels and kind of the way certain words, I suppose, sound phonetically? Is it then difficult to kind of puzzle it together where the words also make sense in a way?
It is, but sometimes you'd make a compromise, or like not every line has to be amazing. From a poetic point of view, you could compromise just for the sake of the listener, so that they're not having this awkward phrase in like shoehorned into the melody, even if it makes poetic sense. I can't think of a good example really. You would often hear it in rap songs. To like one of the problems I can only imagine rappers have is that they have so much room that they must fill with words. So you would find rappers using kind of tags where they say pretty much the same thing over and over again, just with a different twist on it, a different example of this and that. As cleverly as they can, they'll use internal rhyme, but they essentially do have a kind of a quantity problem. They because they're speaking so quickly, they have to fit in a huge amount of subject matter, and they're not really given the ch they're not given the place to be concise, because even though they can make great points, like I am a fan of Kendrick Lamar, but he also does it. Like if he's making a great point about something, he will still have to give the audience a few extra examples just to finish his verse,
I also think with what you mentioned, if it goes by so fast, you kind of need to tag it again so it won't get lost on you, because if otherwise you could miss it, you blink and you miss it, kind of thing.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, well, like it happens in folk songs as well, I suppose, that
Yeah.
you not every line is supposed to kind of knock you out, you know. You're like, you don't want to really beat the listener over the head with, you know, too much information, you know.
And does this process change at all when you, because you mentioned working with other people and writing with other people, do you kind of let them do their own thing, or is it very kind of yeah, how would you describe it? Very collective the way you write.
I often like not in every occasion, but often I do try to kind of to write quickly and then be edited by the other person, perhaps. I do like the songs to have one voice, you know. People have very subtle differences in their way of expression, but you can hear it almost. If you listen to a co-written song, I've noticed in a couple of John Prine songs, like you'd know what a John Prine line is. He has this quirky sarcasm and this sense of humor, but he often writes song he often wrote songs with other people, and you can hear other narrators come in every now and again with kind of a simpler approach or a more kind of romantic or poetic approach, and that line sneaks in there, and then it kind of it confuses the song a small bit to
Sure.
me. So I like to, I suppose I like to be selfish and try to quarantine the lyric part to myself when it comes to that. If someone comes to me with an idea for a song, and if I feel like I can have a grasp on it, I would probably work quickly and maybe even work before the phone call.
Okay.
Just so, you know, even if the song does, even if the other writer doesn't like my approach, you know, the song would still have been from there what they thought a good song would be. So, like the song in the, you know, in this fashion, like the song is still a 50-50 kind of deal,
Sure.
but if they don't like it, you know, if they don't like what I've done, I can still have that song then, you know, that yeah. So like the short answer is, I guess, that I try to keep it to one voice as best I can, like. Yeah.
I find that very interesting because I think you're right. And then in hip hop, we talked about rap earlier. So there, it's kind of more clear when another person is rapping. But in kind of folk type songs, it is kind of it can be jarring if the approach or kind of the way the language is uttered is completely different. So one of the more interesting songs to me was "Old Friend" because it does have this. There are kind of, how would you describe it? When your voice comes in, there is a different delivery, if that makes sense. What Esperanza sings is in a certain style, and then when you come in a certain way, and then kind of the ending is like the beginning again, or something like that. What was the approach with this song? Because I really like that song and kind of the vibe that it creates.
Yeah, me too. It's one of my favorite ones. That song came from Tiana already had her part. She already had all of that idea completely intact, but she didn't know where it should go. So she essentially had two verses and this kind of second idea, like a B idea. And I thought, I wondered, like, why, because the rhythm that she was using reminded me of this thing that I had worked on but had never actually gotten together, which I tried to add in, and she liked. So I wrote lyrics for it that kind of like pertained to what she told me about the source of her part was, which is like this unresolved history with this other person. And so the song is like a Frankenstein of sorts. There's the original song in the middle, the original story in the middle, and then I put this intro and outro, which was supposed to be a kind of a spooky kind of thing, you know, like or fearful to some degree. And it gives it a weird structure, which sure. I like. I mean, it does feel like it's Tiana's song, because the main body of story and switch of melody is in her part, and her part is so forceful and strong, you know. But then, I like what came around it, you know. It's like a little call and response type thing, or so that's how it happened. The ideas happened almost separately, but
okay. So I imagine every collaboration that you do is different. But you mentioned because Minnesota is a song that you've written earlier. Is that why kind of it almost feels like a nice you sing this? Is that kind of the was that kind of the approach for Minnesota?
Well, because the song is so American subject matter. It didn't, and it was coming from a female point of view, saying America when I was your daughter, and now that I'm your mother. Then I thought it needed to be in a female voice, and an American voice would be better too, as long as that particular person agreed with the sentiment.
Sure.
So I had written that song myself. Just thinking about that very thing, like what it must be like for a nice, wise American woman to watch the way her country behaves and the way her country is portrayed and viewed by the rest of the world. And how do you hold on to whatever national pride you might have? How do you rationalize it? So I was glad that Anais agreed to do it, because it has kind of more weight in her voice. In my voice, I think it would have just sounded like I said before, like a kind of an odd over interest in another country. Sure. You know.
Talking about this is maybe a weird segue, because talking about national pride, and you mentioned earlier that sometimes you feel perhaps a little bit self-conscious of not having done the traditional Irish thing enough, perhaps. I don't know how you see it exactly, but is that something that you think about, because obviously Ireland has this huge rich culture of music and folk song, and I mean I grew up with it because my grandmother was Irish, so I know a bunch of those. Is it important to you to, or do you think about it often, to perhaps do an album in traditional Irish style? Or
I have thought about it, because there's some players here in Ireland that I really do like from a musical point of view, and I have thought about writing songs that would suit that style, so that I could ask these players if they would join me. In general, like it's like there's a like a certain amount of people will enjoy like an authentic voice. Someone that is singing in their own accent and singing about their own life experiences, or their neighbors, local neighbors' life experiences. Sure. It just was never part of my growing up with music.
Okay.
So when I was listening to songs, or the songs that my mother or my mother's family were listening to, they were kind of like John Prine songs or Bob Dylan songs, or songs that would live in kind of anyone's voice and be still make sense and still be empathetic. It's just a kind of a stylistic choice, really.
Okay.
Like I do feel embarrassed, all right, by my earlier albums, and maybe even I'll still be embarrassed about the ones I'm making now later on, because I've never used my own kind of speaking voice or accent. I just it never felt natural to me in a strange way. But I do notice how often or how close I was to trying to imitate Tom Waits when I first started singing. And now that embarrasses me a bit. But I just forgive myself and move on.
You have to. But I do find that interesting, and I think what you mentioned, kind of the way I see it, the plight of somebody like you who is very creative, you'll always have doubts, right? There's always like, oh, I could have changed this. Maybe I should have done things differently here. Maybe I should have gone in a different direction musically. I mean, that's kind of the, yeah, that's kind of the plight of the creative, the way I see it.
Well, in general, I kind of only I only do what I like anyway, so
But that's good to hear. Kind of to round off then, because the notion of good time Charlie, this almost kind of happy-go-lucky guy who's in pursuit of just fun. It's such an interesting the way, yeah, it's such an interesting concept these days, because I don't know that many people anymore who are those happy-go-lucky type of people. How did this yeah, this overarching kind of feeling enter into the album?
I maybe it's just because I'm getting older and taking myself less seriously or something. There could be an element of wanting to enjoy the gigs a little bit more, that I kind of deliberately wrote a few songs that would feel good to play live
Okay.
and feel would have a bit more add a bit more energy to what the band is doing and what I'm doing, and just be a take life a little less seriously, I mean, I sometimes have noticed that, like nowadays, with the amount of news and the amount of information that people are bombarded with constantly, that they can feel a bit disillusioned and like powerless, and maybe sometimes people forget how to just have fun, just take it easy,
Sure. What for you is then, is being on stage, is that kind of the pinnacle of enjoyment for you?
I enjoy it, especially playing with the people in the band, which are good friends of mine.
Sure.
And we have kind of an unawkward relationship with whatever's going on, but in general, no, I suppose my favorite part is the kind of creative part and
Okay.
searching around for something new with melody and words. That's what I enjoy the most is the process of creating a song. I kind of like half finished songs, because they're like friends running around in my head that I'm trying to put their put them in, I don't know, put them in their Sunday best. I don't know what the right analogy is, but yeah, they're like a little crossword puzzle I'm carrying around with myself.
I find that very interesting, because yeah, some puzzles get made, some eventually you end up don't do making. So it's a, do you have like a whole hard drive full of song ideas then?
I might revisit some old stuff if it kind of pops back into my head, something
Okay.
unfinished. I don't generally scroll back through. It would be in my phone. the voice memos of my phone. If I'm on a long flight, I might go back through them and see if there's anything that I should work on. But usually I'm still just messing around two or three times a day with an instrument to see if I can get anything new. I would usually have two or three things that I'm trying to hack away at and find a good avenue down, you know.
And this was the last question. Is this a continual process then? Because I can imagine once kind of as you mentioned earlier in the interview, once you have a selection of songs and you kind of feel okay, this is all right to bring out, geez, you kind of do it. But that craft keeps going, right? So how do you identify then what you're, well, that's not the right way to phrase it, but how do you kind of figure out, okay, this one I'm writing with a purpose, and this one will p potentially end up on an album? Or is that only near the end that you know that?
Well, I guess you're always trying to make it as something that will be li enjoyable to other people,
Okay.
or useful to other people in some way. Then you'll have varying degrees of success with that. The song, you might finish the song and play it to yourself 10 or 15 times, or one upon recording it at the studio, you might listen to what you have 20 times and realize this song doesn't survive more than 20 listens. So it's sitting next to songs that you feel will survive more than 20 listens, so you have to put it aside and say, oh, well, that one doesn't have a certain thing about it that will sustain it, or some, you know. I think I have a lot of those songs.
Okay.
Which, So that's one method of choosing.
I think that's a good test to put the songs through. Mick, may I thank you so much for talking to me. As always,
Thank
it's been
you,
a
Robert.
pleasure, and
Yeah, nice to see you again.